Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Wiser Financial Advisor Show with Josh Nelson, where we get real, we get honest, and we get clear about the financial world and your money. This is Josh Nelson, a certified financial planner and founder and CEO of Keystone Financial Services. We love feedback, and we'd love it if you would pass it on to me directly at josh@keystonefinancial.com. Also, please stay plugged in with us, get updates on episodes, and help us promote the podcast. And also, subscribing to us at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcast service. Let the financial fun begin. Today, we're going to talk about simplifying it down to just a few actions that you need to focus on. And the context around this is that clients ask me about, hey, are there some good episodes that I can share with my kids or my grandkids? Then just a lot of times people are asking me about, Josh, you work with a lot of people that have been enormously successful. When it comes to their financial lives, what did they do? What were some things that they did? What are some commonalities that we can just kind of repeat that and then hopefully get the same result on the back end? In other words, what's the secret to getting rich? If we had to narrow it down to three very actionable pieces of advice, what would those be? So today I have titled our episode, Just Do These Three Things, because these are the three that I believe at least will make the biggest difference in your financial outcome. And again, this is really shareable content, hint, hint, to anybody in your life that you think needs to kind of get started the right way and just focus on a few principles. So principle number one, one of the three things is to avoid getting into debt like the plague. And what I mean by that is that we really want to avoid borrowing from anyone, even family. And if we do, pay these things off as fast as we possibly can. We want to pay our debts off ASAP. So this is about increasing your cash flow and creating greater financial security for you and your family. I know that you might say, but it's a 0% interest rate. It's deferred interest on my student loans. Whatever the case may be, debt is the enemy of growth. And the bottom line is there's still a required monthly payment. And when you go into debt, you're just borrowing from the future. And it's pretty common in our society. I hear a lot of people justify it by the interest rate that they're paying or the payments are really low. One thing I can tell you is that wealthy people don't have debt, or they have very little debt. And if they do have any debt, it's probably on a piece of real estate. They probably have a ton of equity in it. And for whatever reason, they haven't paid it off yet. I will tell you, even for rich people, they like having no debt because it just feels good. And there might be some mathematics that we can do that would justify investing the difference and hopefully ending with a better outcome. But bottom line is that we don't know what kind of results you'll get in any kind of an investment. Nothing's guaranteed. So when it comes down to it, really we want to pay things off as fast as possible to increase cash flow and give ourselves a sense, which is emotions. Bottom line is it's how we feel about money, right? A sense of financial security. So we like to use Dave Ramsey's debt elimination strategy called the debt snowball. And in fact, Dave didn't even invent it himself. I think it was somebody even before that. But it works. It actually works out really well. And there's a lot of studies that actually will point back to it being a very effective strategy at eliminating debt quicker than many other strategies. What the debt snowball is, briefly, is making a list of all of the money you owe. List out all your debts in order of the largest to the smallest, and you want to focus on that smallest debt first, the smallest balance first, in other words. So we want to make the minimum payments on everything on that list, except for the smallest, and put 100% of all the extra money in your budget to paying this off. And the magic and the snowball effect of this really is that when we pay off the smallest debt, we did a whole episode on this a while back, but it's worth a listen. This is the synopsis. Basically, is once we pay off that smallest debt, what we've done, even if it's a teeny amount of money, maybe we were only paying $20 a month on that debt, but now we've freed up $20 a month. And again, it might be somebody who says, no, but that was my Home Depot 0% for 6 months sort of deal. Why would I pay that off early? It's about cash flow. We're not talking about interest being paid at this point. We're talking about increasing your cash flow. And as you increase your cash flow, you have a greater and greater, not only sense of financial security, but realistically, you do have better financial security. If you have improved cash flow, just like a company, if a company has better cash flow, they've got greater financial security. you and I, as consumers, when we increase our cash flow, that does increase our financial security, and it does open up options, certainly. So when we pay off that smallest debt, we move on to the next and take all of our money plus that $20 or whatever we freed up in cash flow, putting it onto that next debt, eliminating that, and the next one until they're all gone. You'll even get your mortgage paid off eventually, and you could be one of those weird people that might be in their 30s or 40s and gets completely debt-free, including your mortgage. That feels good to have no debt. Principle number two, and one of the three things, is to live on 80%. What I mean by that is 80% of your income. That means that the other 20% is for your future, and the 20% is what you use to create your financial future by not spending it now. So catch me on this. What we're doing is we're consciously choosing when we don't spend 100% of the money. We have just shifted ourselves into the identity of an investor instead of just being a consumer like most Americans are. And hey, it's good for the economy when we're consumers, right? When we spend money, that's actually most of the economy. About 70%, in fact, of the economy is just fueled by consumer spending. So that's great for the economy, not so good for your budget. You need to live on 80% and put that 20% into the future, because the future is expensive. What I mean by that is that someday, many, many years down the road, possibly, you want to be in the position where you have income coming back to you without you having to work. And by putting that 20% away, and again, right now, we're not even worried about where it's going. That's important too. But more than anything, it's that habit, that principle of just learning to live on 80% of our income so we can push that 20% out into the future. If you do this, your future is likely to be very, very bright. Even if you don't put it the best places, in a lot of cases, it doesn't really matter that much. If you're not following this principle, it's not going to make a whole lot of difference if you're not feeding that 20% into the future. If it's 10% into the future, 15%, 5% into the future, when you make that decision on that initial amount, start with that. If that's what you think you can do right now, that's great. And then increase it a little bit at a time. If you're putting away 5% into your 401k right now, raise it to 6%, raise it to 7%. And test me on this. I don't think it's going to matter a whole lot. When you get your next paycheck, you'll probably be surprised at how little difference that makes by you just going 1% at a time until you get to that 20% number. So when you live on 80%, you have, again, made the decision to be an investor instead of just a consumer. Now, we're going to touch briefly on where do you put that money, because it does matter. It does matter as far as your outcome. And my answer always is it depends. It really depends on your situation, how much time you've got. But I can tell you my preference generally is that, you know, especially if you have a long time horizon, let's say at least 5 years, is that you put it in investment categories that you at least have a chance of outpacing inflation. Commonly, we would be looking at things that are stocks, real estate, or commodities. These tend to do a good job outpacing inflation, or at least matching inflation over time. Now, what comes with that is volatility. So just be aware of that. And that's why it goes back to, well, it depends. We need to have a deeper conversation probably to make sure that we understand your situation, what you're comfortable with, your time frames, all that stuff. As financial planners, that's our job, is to really dig deep and understand you, your family, your situation, to make sure your money is invested the right way for you. But again, the principle here is living on 80%. There's not a whole lot we can do if you're not saving anything and you have no room in your budget. That's why we go back to that last principle, right? Paying off debt. So we actually have freed up some cash flow. Now we can put that money into the future that was going to pay off debt. Now we don't have those required payments kind of sucking us down each month. Now we can take that money, put it into the future, and start investing at different places. So you can start thinking about investment categories, but starting out, just think of it as I'm going to live on 80% of my money. The rest of it, I've got automatically being deducted from my paycheck or from my checking account each month. Principle number three, the third thing, is to have a real plan. And what I mean by that is a real plan that's actually measurable. It's something that's specific enough that somebody can look at it and say, I get it. And I believe that this is something that could actually work. If you don't have a real plan, you're like most people. Most people don't have a real financial plan. They might have a vague idea of how much they're putting away or how much money they've got in investments, but they might not really have a real plan. In other words, some of the key questions that we need to think about are, really, what do I want for my future? What am I trying to accomplish here? And if you've got a spouse, you guys are planning together, what do we want for our future as we're planning our life? What do we really want that to look like? Chances are that's going to involve money. That's going to involve building up some wealth unless you plan on working forever. And I would debate you on that a little bit, that even if you want to work forever, I love my job. I love what I do here at Keystone, working with clients. It's really an honor to be able to do what we do. But having a real plan means that we're specific enough that we actually have a plan that would get us conservatively to where we want to go, meaning that I have money going away for retirement right now, and I might actually choose to work many, many years beyond the point that I'm financially free. But I want to be financially free simply so that becomes a choice, not something that I have to do. Now, as part of this is we believe very strongly, and of course, we're biased a little bit, but I've got some stats to back this up. When it comes to developing a real plan, you can do it on your own. It's not that that can't be done, but more than likely, hiring a certified financial planner is going to get you there a lot faster. And back to, well, what do rich people do? Investment News did a survey of millionaires. And of course, there's lots of millionaires now. Millionaire isn't as much of a deal as it was decades ago, but it's still a lot of money. I think most of us feel good about having at least $1 million in the bank or in investments. That would feel really good. So Investment News did a study of millionaires, and 70%, that's 70, not 17, 70% of millionaire households used some sort of financial advisor. And clearly, these millionaires see value in hiring somebody, but don't just hire any financial advisor. Hire the best financial advisors, which are certified financial planners. Those are the gold standard financial planners. That means you're working with a fiduciary. That means you're working with somebody that actually understands the financial world and has been trained to actually ask the right questions, dig deep into your financial situation, and actually build out a plan that has a high likelihood of getting to where you want to be. So it's important to work with somebody who's qualified. You could do it on your own, but 70% of millionaire households use some sort of financial advisor. And I think you would want to go with the gold standard. If you're going to hire somebody, you might as well hire somebody who's good at what they do and very, very qualified and experienced. So the value that somebody might see in a financial advisor, and this is based on my experience, but also what my clients tell me, because I ask them, you know, why do you use this? Why don't you do this on your own? And in a lot of cases, it's interesting because I'd say the majority of the time when a new client joins us, they have come from doing it on their own. Actually, they didn't work with a financial advisor or financial planner before. If they did, it was probably a salesperson. Frankly, it was probably somebody just selling them financial products. Wasn't a true financial planner or fiduciary, but they were probably doing it on their own. Most people have been doing that, and they're very good savers. They were following these other principles before they even got to us. In a lot of cases, is that they were avoiding debt like the plague, principle number one. Principle number two, they were living on 80%. Sometimes they were living on even less than that and putting more away. But, you know, third thing is that they hired a financial planner for, you know, a couple of different reasons. One of those is that they don't want to spend their precious time that they have becoming a financial expert, watching the market and keeping up with all the changes in the world. In fact, they know that it's smart to delegate. It's really smart to delegate to other people who are really good at stuff because we only have 168 hours each week and many of those are sleeping, right? So there's only so many hours that we have to be able to spend time with people that we care about and to make memories and do things that are truly fulfilling. Now, if that's becoming a financial expert for you, that's great. You know, if that's how you want to spend your free time, the little free time that you probably have, becoming a financial expert and watching the markets and, again, keeping up with all the changes to legislation, all the things that are happening in the world, more power to you. That's great if that's you. But in a lot of cases, what we find is that even the people that are doing it on their own aren't really enjoying it. You know, they're really not finding that it's giving them a lot of juice in life to be spending their time that way. And if they really freed up the hours that they're spending probably each week or month, and of course, they need to be putting enough time in. A lot of times what we end up finding out is that they might be doing it on their own, but they're not really spending that much time at it. And they did it because somebody said, well, you should just do it yourself at Schwab or Vanguard or whatever. You know, then they figure out later on that that's just not giving them a lot of juice in life. And they know that they really need somebody who's good at it and is going to be watching and really being their fiduciary. So rich people do tend to be pretty good at delegating because they were probably business owners. They probably were managers or high level executives at a company. They didn't get to where they are by trying to do everything themselves. It's just not possible because of the number of hours in the day and the week and really the passion that people want to put into other things. So hire the best people and get out of their way. Number two, they want to hire a fiduciary that's looking out for their best interests. And a fiduciary actually has to do that because a fiduciary is legally obligated to be looking out for the client's best interests and ultimately helping them see things that they don't see. So that's the last reason they really want to do that and hire somebody, is they really want somebody that they just trust. They just want to hire somebody that they can trust to kind of handle things so they can just go live their life and not have to worry about the financial stuff. Now, does that mean that you should just hand your money over to somebody and not pay attention to it at all? Absolutely not. It's important to have some accountability kind of both directions, that you've got somebody who's your financial partner and they're really looking out for your best interest. That's a big part of it, is just accountability back to your plan. A good certified financial planner will help get you very clear on where you are today, where you want to be in the future, and it's their job to build a plan that has a high likelihood of succeeding. In our world, we can't use the word guarantee, but what we're trying to do is build plans that have high likelihoods. And that's by doing it in a way that really is using time-tested principles and really just following the financial world and being very, very cognizant of what's going on out there, what's going on in your life, and really using time-tested principles to build out a plan that has a high likelihood of working. So that's the three. If I had to narrow it down to the three, and of course I expounded on each of them, but if I had to narrow it down to just doing three things, I think this would make such a difference in people's lives. Number one, again, is to avoid going into debt like the plague. And the bottom line is most of us are going to have to borrow some money at some point, or you chose to borrow some money. Just pay it off faster than you have to. Pay it off as fast as possible. Really, you will be much more free by doing that, not just financially, but also there's some clarity, some peace of mind that really comes with that. Number two is living on 80%, taking the other 20% and pushing it into the future, because that's what you're going to live on someday when you're financially free. And then number three is to have a real plan, and ideally hiring a certified financial planner, your own personal fiduciary who is going to be your financial partner and helping you along the way. You want to be very aligned with that person to make sure that their interests are the same interests as yours and that you are headed in the same direction. Now, one point I do want to make on that last one, especially for those of you who might be younger and just starting out, you might hear that third one and say, hire a certified financial planner, a fiduciary. They're not going to want to work with me. That person is probably working with millionaires, probably people that are much, much wealthier than I am. I don't have any money. I can't really afford to hire a financial planner. You might be right. It's possible that you would be right, because many good financial planners that are very successful have minimums. They've got minimum fees, or they've got a minimum amount of assets that they need to have managed really to make their own business kind of financially work out. If they're a good business person, they're going to have a minimum amount that they need to receive from each client for it to financially make sense. So one thing I will tell you is you might be surprised. There are a lot of planners, including us, that do have a way that's by paying a retainer fee, possibly as opposed to a percentage of assets. Some of them will waive an asset minimum if you can pay the minimum fee. But you might be saying, I can't even probably pay a minimum fee. I've just got nothing. I'm just starting out. I'm just able to barely pay the bills. Many of us, and I say us because we do this, many of us are in this for a business, but we're also in it to help people. And we love to help people who are just starting out. Many of us do pro bono work. And both myself and Jeremy, our other certified financial planner, we spend a lot of hours each year, dozens of hours each year doing pro bono work. And by that, I mean that we sit with people. It doesn't have to be young people. It could be people of any age that really just, they need some guidance and they're not somebody who normally would be able to afford, or they don't have the assets to hire a certified financial planner. So if that's you, let me know. Let me know if that's the case, and we will make sure that you get some help. We may not always be the ones to do that, but I will tell you that we will get you pointed in the right direction and make sure that you get some help, some guidance. We will point you to the right way that you need to go to start implementing some of these principles. If we had the top 10 things or the top 6 things or something else, then I would have talked a lot longer today, giving you more ideas. But there is power in focus. There is power in just focusing on a small number of things. And for those of you who have been very successful in your careers, your lives, you probably will tell me that, yep, I was just able to focus on a few things, and that's how I was able to be successful. So keep that in mind as you're thinking about these three things, whether it's for you or for somebody else that you care about. Think about these three things that we talked about today, and just know that if I had to, as a financial planner, if I had to narrow it down to just three pieces of advice, these would be the three that I think would make the biggest difference in people's lives. So with that being said, hit subscribe, help us support the Wiser Financial Advisor. And you guys have been so good at doing this. It's really been so much fun over the past year plus, really building out the Wiser Financial Advisor. We see more and more downloads and people listening every single week. So thank you for listening. Make sure you hit subscribe on your favorite podcast service, whether that's Spotify or Pandora or Apple or Google, whatever it is that you listen to this on. Make sure you hit subscribe. That helps us. And also share this episode out. That's part of the reason I created it, is share it out to other people that you care about. Oftentimes they might be just starting out. They might be younger, but share this out to anybody that you care about that might find it helpful. So with that, I hope you have a great week and God bless.
Information advisory services offered through Keystone Financial Services, an SEC registered investment advisor. This episode has been prepared for informational purposes only and is not intended to provide and should not be relied upon for tax, legal, or accounting advice. You should consult your own tax, legal, and accounting advisors.